Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., where we talk about hypnosis, etc., which means, but we don't talk a lot about it, etc. Well, let me talk about something a little bit. I'm going to talk about something really, really off topic for at least a minute today. Let's see, if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video is extra graphics, extra information, extra links that just make this video more valuable. Oh, and by the way, some people, they don't care to watch this video and they want the information, so they just do the audio version. On calbanyan.com, on the page where this video exists, right underneath there, it has an audio version. Let me see if I can pull this up on my computer screen real quick to see what it says. But right below it says, click to play the video. And underneath that, it says, click to play the audio version. And depending on the browser you use, you can, instead of playing, you can just save that, right-click on that, click to play audio version, and you can just save it and put it on your iPod or your iPhone or other device that you listen to audios with. Oh, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but the audio and video versions of this podcast is on iTunes. They're all there, and so very easy to synchronize your iPod or iPhone or iPad or whatever with all these podcasts. And they're right there. Couldn't be easier. Gosh, I can go on. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith is one of my favorite co-hosts. I got two co-hosts, and she's definitely one of my favorite. As a matter of fact, she is a great hypnotherapist. She has so many satisfied clients. Her testimonials, if you were to line them up, they'd go halfway to the moon and back. She is a previous talk therapist. She has a special interest in working with eating disorders. She's done that in the past with regular talk therapy, and now she does super good at it with hypnotherapy, but now she works on all kinds of different things. So, Hypno One Percenter Meredith, how you doing?
I'm doing so good, Cal. I'm just so excited to be in 2012, aren't you?
No, because I'm still writing 2011 on everything that I sign.
Well, you'll do that until probably June or so, right? And then you'll finally figure it out.
I'm going to do some hypnosis on myself. It is 2012. Wait, that means it's the end of the world, right?
It is. Everybody prepare yourself.
No, it's the end of the world as we know it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No. We could all deal with a fresh start. It won't be the end of existence altogether, right? It'll just be the end of this type of world.
Hey, I want to, you know what? I'm going to do a quick little dedication. I'm dedicating this podcast to Tarzan's best friend, Cheetah. Because there's a rumor going around that Cheetah died. 80-something years old, the chimpanzee bit his last banana. So I'm dedicating this podcast to Cheetah. Isn't that nice?
I'll drink to that. A little coffee to Cheetah.
Hey. Not that he cares. It's like Elvis. There's this whole movement that say, no, that wasn't Cheetah. Cheetah either is not dead yet, or Cheetah couldn't have lived that long because he'd be like 86 years old. But I don't really care. I'm still dedicating it to the memory of that furry little friend that Tarzan once had named Cheetah.
I think there's some whole world where all of these people who are still supposedly alive that did not die are all living together.
Yes. They live with all the child stars of the past.
Yes, they're all there along with Olivia Newton-John's ex-boyfriend, all hiding out somewhere on some deserted island except for them. It's deserted except for them.
Yes, it's out there. It's right in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle.
I love it. And no one can ever get there because they always disappear on their way there, right?
That's right. That's what I'm going to do. Old hypnotists never die. They just go to the Bermuda Triangle, never to be seen again.
No, Cal, stay. We need you to keep doing podcasts.
I will do podcasts. When I die, I want you guys to have seances and with a video camera, and I'll just come back and keep going. I'll keep talking about the same stuff I always talk about every week, and those are, you can do better. You got to take this profession seriously and, logically become a 1%. 200 years from now, you pull out that crystal ball, you join hands, and, you know, you just start chanting, Hypno 1%er, Hypno 1%er. And I'll just come back and I'll do another podcast for you.
Perfect. So maybe I'll just start channeling you. If my voice changes a little bit in the future, or if I start to become even more hardcore, in fact, actually hardcore, then you'll know I'm channeling Cal. And
especially if you start growing whiskers on your chin.
And start wanting to really wear leather jackets and ride Harleys.
You want to do that anyway.
You're right, I do.
I got to find you one of my biker friends that kind of sweep you off your feet and put you on the back of a big old hog, and we'll head off to, Sturgis or something.
Sounds like fun. Might as well. Anything's possible in 2012, Cal.
That's right. It's another year. Anything can happen. Hey, let's talk about hypnosis.
Okay. How about if we do that? Yeah. So we have been talking about forgiveness of others. We've been talking about forgiveness of self, and we've got a little bit more to do. We've got some more questions. So I thought we'd just stay on the topic and keep on
going. Oh, geez, I thought we were done with that. I guess I'm just going to have to forgive you.
No, the world is ending. We have to hurry up and forgive. We have to hurry.
That's right. You know what? I don't want to leave this earth angry at anybody.
No, me neither. Not at all. And by the way, I am particularly forgiving of you because you're putting your stuff onto Kindle. I'm so excited.
Hey, you know what? I've been talking about it for weeks. I love that Kindle. Either be just the touch or the old-fashioned Kindle, or you can download the Kindle Reader on your PC, your Mac, and even your iPad. Do it. You know what? One of the coolest things, God, don't you got me started on this again, is that you can sample books. That's the coolest thing. I mean, you know, when you go to the bookstore, you'd start reading some of it, but yeah, I mean, this is even better. At your own convenience, like when you go to sleep at night or you're waiting in the bank line or whatever, you just open your iPhone, open your Kindle, open whatever, and you can just try out some books. And if you like them, you buy them, and you save a lot of money. Because most Kindle books are like under $9, under $10 or something like that. Okay.
Yep, and we're saving some trees.
Hey, I think I've had too much coffee today.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, so let's dig right in. We've got a few more questions about forgiveness of others and forgiveness of self. We've been talking about this in the last couple episodes, so if you haven't watched those first, go back, watch those. And you can also watch the series that Cal and I did a while back on forgiveness of others. We dug pretty deeply into it, podcast 195 through 199. But getting in a little bit more to forgiveness of others, first of all, since it's phase three, so we'll do this in order. I know Cal likes to do things logically and in order. So Cal, what if the offender, now in forgiveness of others, we are going to be helping, guiding the client to allow themselves to let go of the anger that they have towards the offender, is what we call that person. And what if the offender isn't known? What if the offender is a stranger? How will that affect how you process, how you take them through the forgiveness of others process?
Well, you know, we're not really getting into the forgiveness of others process that much in a podcast, because it takes a little bit more than just a, you know, a 15, 20 minute podcast to really go through the whole therapeutic process. But I just, as you insiders know, right below the screen, I've got my monitors for my computer, and I thought I better look up an article I did called The 10 Keys to Forgiveness. And so I'm going to put a link right below this to that article where I talk about the 10 things you do that can make any SOB forgivable. SOB, you all know what that stands for, but for you guys outside of the country that aren't familiar with that term, it means some other body, okay? So go there, the link below, and you'll see the 10 things you can do that makes anyone forgivable. Now, with someone, one of the problems with forgiving someone that you don't know, the challenges, like if you're forgiving your mother or your brother or a spouse or ex-spouse or even one of your children that did you wrong, we can do a lot of insight work based on what you know about that person. And so what we're going to do when we have them forgive someone else, like let's say a hit-and-run driver or someone that mugged you in the park, or something like that, an unknown individual. It can still be done, because what we do is we will kind of press the person to figure out the kind of insight that they would expect is required, the kind of understanding that would be expected with everything we know about people in general as to why someone would do hit and run. I mean, well, the kinds of things that could cause them to want to do that. Because like hit and run, for example, they don't get in the wreck on purpose, but they leave on purpose because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble and that kind of stuff. And so we can begin to extrapolate or imagine the cause of their behavior with everything we know about what motivates people's behavior. So there's no problem there. We just tend to have to be a little bit more forceful in the recommendation of forgiveness. We encourage people to imagine what was most likely behind the cause of the behavior. And also, very, very importantly, we want to let them know that it's important that they do the forgiveness. The benefit is not for this unknown person. It is for themselves. And that we don't have to have the insight. We don't have to imagine what that person would say if you could meet with them where they would ask for forgiveness, because the forgiveness ultimately is for ourselves. It's the gift we give ourselves that frees ourselves from the pain we've caused ourselves by judging others negatively. So we can still make a very good case for letting that debt go. What else would you like to add to that, Meredith?
Good. Yeah, you know, basically, when people are in their most balanced, healthy, happy state, you know, they don't leave the scene of a crime. They don't scream at you at a party. They don't put you down in front of others. You know, they don't rape you. You know, people that do these things are clearly not being in their best form. And I think that most of us have an understanding of that. But when you have so much anger, as you've talked about, Cal, anger's a wall. And so it can be the thing that blocks a person's ability to recognize the weakness, the insecurity, the unhappiness, the pain that might be underlying whatever it is that offender did to us. And so sometimes our job as a hypnotherapist is, and a hypnotist is, to help that client to see what they already know about human behavior in that behavior. And that's just someone's pain showing, that's someone's fear showing, that's someone's jealousy showing, you know, it's someone's own a history of abuse showing in the situation, that it's not a healthy person who's doing that, you know, that's doing wrong there. It's usually someone who's reacting out of their unhealthiness, right?
Absolutely. I remember when I was working as a psychologist at the North Dakota State Hospital, and I'd work with in the lockdown ward, and there was some people who really had done some terrible things. I worked with murderers and molesters and stuff like this. These people were seriously mentally ill. And it really gave me the insight that a lot of times there's a cause to a problem that has really, there's more than one victim. The person who perpetrated the crime or the problem is also, to some degree, if you look for it, also a victim. And like in the mental health, mental illness example, someone may be mentally ill and then destroyed property, been mentally ill and attacked someone, been seriously mentally ill and murdered someone. And one of the things is, the real bad guy in this is the mental illness. Because of that mental illness, this individual was murdered or hurt, or the damaged property was damaged. But also, my client's life that has been terribly disrupted or destroyed, because now they're spending their life in the lockdown ward of a psychiatric unit. So a lot of times, when we begin to understand the person who did us wrong, we can understand that they are, at least to some degree, a victim of their environment and other forces that have been pressing them into doing whatever they did that hurt us. Now, of course, I'm not absolving everyone of some guilt or turpitude in the environment, but we have to look at both sides of the coin. That yes, they are responsible, unless they're mentally ill, for what they did to us, but there's also something that caused them to be that way. You're exactly right, Meredith.
Good. And you know what? That's such a perfect segue, what you just said, to the next question. The next question is, what if the offender is actually not a person, but what if it is an illness, like mental illness or cancer, or somebody is really particularly angry at a substance because they have felt so enslaved to the addictive qualities of, you know, a really addictive drug or something like that? Have you ever, or would you ever, put a mental illness into the chair there across and deal with that and have a client forgive that?
You know what? I'll have them forgive whatever they're angry at. And if they're angry at an illness, then we're going to have them express that anger. They're going to dialogue with that substance or that condition or whatever it is, and we will resolve it. I find that it typically tends to be easier with non-human things because as we go through the process, they kind of get the idea, this is kind of crazy to be angry at them. And as we have them release that anger through the expression, pounding on the pillow and saying, I'm angry at you because of this and that and all these kinds of things, and you made me think and you made me feel and blah, 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 and we just get it out, then it's pretty easy to get the forgiveness done. Typical things that come up, though, are like being angry at God. And I say, hey, be angry at God, you know. And I think that, and they just got to work through that. And the process we provide them in forgiveness of others in phase 3 of 5 path just reliably gets them through it. I've also had people who are still angry at Hitler. Because of what they did to their family and stuff like that, and just take them through the process, the 10 keys to forgiveness, the forgiveness of others process and 5 path, and we get it done. Gosh, being angry at Hitler or being angry at God doesn't get back at God. It doesn't get back at Hitler. It just hurts yourself and everybody that cares about you. So we get her done.
Yeah, and speaking about forgiving God, we did do a couple podcasts on that a little while back ago, so a couple more to reference. Number 159, and also we got even more into it in 163, so those would be places to go if you want to dig deeper into that kind of thing. But yeah, because often the offender isn't a person. It is an actual energy or a person that is maybe no longer here, or it's, you know, mental illness or a drug. And it's really great to have these tools to be able to help your clients get over whatever it is they need to get over. Good. So I'm ready to move on to a forgiveness of self question. Do you have anything more to add to that, Cal?
Okay, we'll make it a quickie.
Yes, it's a quickie. So this question was submitted, and what if a person is coming in, a client is coming in mainly for guilt? What if they call you up and they say, you know, I want to come in to resolve some guilt I have? Would you just jump right into forgiveness of self if you're a 5-pather?
Oh, you know the answer to that. Take it away, Meredith.
Absolutely not. There's a logical order to what needs to be resolved, and there's more involved in that feeling and involved in what the person is going through than can be resolved in phase 4 of 5 path, the forgiveness of self process. And so it's important to follow the steps of 5 path and take them through. They're going to get something out of each and every phase that's necessary to helping them to get past their issue, whether it's guilt or anything else. What do you want to add to that, Cal?
Yeah, especially when you do this age regression work before you get into the forgiveness, you really get to release and become aware of and examine the events that relate to the issue in a way that the client is probably not able to get in touch with through their own just remembering. Because we bring up the issue, follow it back, find out what's happening, what are they thinking, what are they feeling, and how many events are really strongly associated with it, then it really empowers us to do an excellent forgiveness process. In fact, sometimes they'll find out that it's not really themselves that they're angry about or feeling guilty about, but you uncover the other people that are involved in the situation, and we can spread the anger around a little bit. How's that?
Yes, out of loyalty to other family members or to other people in their life, oftentimes people will turn the finger onto themselves instead of really looking at all the players that are a part of the process. I mean, like we've got into other podcasts before, you know, talking about mom and how hard it is sometimes for people to put their mom in the chair, to forgive their mom or put any blame on mom. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, mom wasn't trying to be cruel or harmful most of the time, but there are still some things that mom might have done that added to the problem. And so it's usually not always all the just the client's fault. There is absolutely more of that anger that could go around to other key players.
Awesome. One last thing about that is also when we do the age regression work before we do forgiveness, we re-examine those earlier events, we might find out that it wasn't not fair. And when they see that it wasn't not fair, which is, according to the secret language of feelings, one of the first things we do is a reality check. The age regression is a reality check for stuff that happened in the past, and it removes some of the anger, maybe even all the anger, without necessitating the actual act of forgiveness. Okay, wrap it up.
Beautiful. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in once again. And welcome once again to 2012. May you have the most abundant year yet. This is Meredith Locker. You can find me at yourpathhypnosis.com. You can email me, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Please send in your questions, your comments, your feedback. We love to hear them. Bring them to the show. Happy to do it. Definitely take care and signing off.
Thank you, Meredith. Hey, and you guys, something I haven't mentioned in a long time, one of the things you should do is you should have a website. And one of the greatest things you can do for your website is have third-party validation. Go to hypnosis.org, and over in the left column, you will see Excellent Hypnosis Website Award Program. And click on it, and there's information about having me go to your website, and as long as it looks like it's a legitimate website, you're not making false claims, well-organized, a decent-looking website, then what we will do is we will award you the Excellent Hypnosis Website seal. And that having that kind of third-party validation has a lot of credibility to what you do. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.